reset. This is the classic night. Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And we're here with Baylor.
Podcasts. Podcasts are what brings us together.
Angus. Hi.
Jeanette.
My name is Jeanette.
Mackenzie.
My name is Mackenzie Padabada. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
That was the one I was going to use. You stole mine.
Okay, so Lisa better steal hers. Hi, Lisa.
I have nothing now.
Holy shit.
And Alex, we stole everybody's Alex.
I need to remember the lines, like, never mess with Sicilian when his death is on the line.
Okay, so you may
and
guess...
And you are?
Oh, I'm Justin, apparently.
No catchphrase for you?
No, I don't get one. We're here watching Princess Bride. Jeanette, you sort of instigated this one. So what is the Princess Bride? What's it about?
So it's a made in
Britain.
I don't think we've had anyone Britain. So organised for a podcast for years.
This is your classic cult classic. It was made in 1987. Wasn't hugely popular at the time, but very well received by reviewers. Has just endured because it is one of the best movies ever made. Without
100%,
question.
100%.
It is just one of those films that you never forget. You never cease to quote. It is one of the most quotable films ever made. Mm-hmm. Wonderful script, wonderful lines. So the film began, life began for this movie as a novel. It's originally published in 1973, over 10 years before the film came out, by William Goldman, who was a Hollywood writer and screenwriter. And William Goldman also wrote scripts for things like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Marathon Man, and All the President's Men, amongst
Marathon
other things.
Man!
So yeah. He was a very successful Hollywood scriptwriter. He wrote novels, and Princess Bride is the most well-known of all his novels. And he said, it was a fluke, he could never recreate it. He was actually supposedly writing a sequel when he died.
Oh! So
2018.
Even though he couldn't create it, he was trying to get a red hot guy.
He was trying to, and said he had writer's block, but he was still working on it. But he died
in 2018.
So there
he is, dying in the nursing home, and is still...
trying to write his sequel to Princess Bride. So the film was directed by Rob Reiner, and it's considered probably one of his best movies. It stars Cary Elwes.
Good pronunciation. I was wondering where you were going to go with that one.
I've been trying to work out where to go with that
one. Yeah, no, it's Elwes.
Yeah, it is Elwes. Robin Wright, Mandy Patinkin, Chris Sarandon, Wallace Shawn, Andre the Giant, and Christopher Guest.
This was Robin Wright's first movie.
Yes.
She became Robin Wright Penn.
Introducing
Robin Wright.
She had started out in American soap operas or something before.
Yeah.
Was this based on an actual book?
Yes.
There is an actual book.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
There's the book. We have the book.
Yeah, by William Goldman. So he wrote the book and then he wrote the screenplay for the movie from his book.
So he was a screenwriter, but this went the other way around. This started as the book and went to the screen. Script.
So Cary Elwes got the role because he'd previously been in an English movie called Lady Jane. He was like the perfect, almost like the classic Disney prince in that movie. They saw that and went, yes, he's perfect for the role of Wesley. Andre the Giant, Goldman wanted Andre the Giant, but had a lot of trouble getting hold of him because he was basically a wrestler, World Federation wrestler. And then he got a back injury and he wasn't able to do a competition in Tokyo. So they contacted Reiner and Goldman and said, yes, you can have him for the movie.
I remember incredible pain during
the
movie.
Yes, he couldn't actually lift anybody.
No. Yeah.
So they showed him lifting people and all this kind of thing. Yeah. Apparently they were walking next to him.
Standing on steps, when he carries her, she's actually being held up by rope or something. Mm.
And because then they had, like, he's lifting up the rocks, but the rocks are so obviously, like, this really light paper mache.
Yeah.
So he had no strength whatsoever.
In a lot of scenes, his face is slightly reddened, and that's because of the pain, or he was actually drinking quite a lot of alcohol.
I heard he was drinking massively during that movie.
Apparently he was going through like a small keg a day sort of thing. Because he's such a big individual, he's got a lot of body mass, so he's able to absorb the alcohol and have it not really affect him. So he was drinking a proportionate amount.
Apparently he did enjoy himself, though, because people didn't treat him as a freak.
Yes.
He used to being treated as a freak because of his height. Mm. But everyone just accepted him as a person, and he really enjoyed the time he spent on set because of the social.
And it sounds like there was a lot of camaraderie on set. Everyone kind of bonded really well, and it was a nice environment.
And they've done a lot of things since, voiceovers and reading of script and stuff.
So
there's been a lot of involvement with the cast since that.
There was a remake of this during COVID. Did you guys hear about this? And all of these actors, they made their own little versions of scenes in their like backyards or in their house, and then they meshed them all together. I think it's on YouTube, isn't it?
It's been stitched together, and I think it was to raise money, but we can't remember what it was for.
Yeah, part of it was just, I think there was all these actors that were stuck at home and wanted to do something. They raised money, but then I think it's now on YouTube because I think whatever the fundraiser was for is kind of ended.
One fundraiser they did where they did voiceovers, so it's a different one. There's been several, and that was for the, I think, Wisconsin Democrat Party. And one of the hashtags was get rid of Prince Trumpadink.
So, but there are a couple of parodies of this movie because it's kind of a satire movie, but the second Deadpool movie.
Yes.
Had a family edit release starring Ryan Reynolds and the kid from this movie sitting in the bedroom as Deadpool is reciting the story of Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
And it's actually really funny.
Yeah.
It's genuinely funny because they're playing with the fact that it's not got the R rating that Deadpool 2 previously has. They've cut it down to like PG or M or something like that. Like, they really cut it back.
I think it's funny that you refer to the guy who played the kid as the kid and not as beloved Wonder Years star Fred Savage. Like,
I've got no context.
But then, I mean, he was, the Wonder Years was massive. So he did that and then went on, did Wonder Years, and that went for years, like right up until he was probably late teens, early 20s.
Behind Modern Family?
Yeah, so he is a director now.
Yeah.
And he's directed most of the episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Modern Family and so many. Oh, The Office, all of these shows.
American or English?
American. He's an American director now.
You never know.
Yeah, well, that's true.
There's this crazy contraption called Aeroplane.
I know, right? It's a Hollywood director. So the more so, sitcoms and TV shows. Yeah,
the only
like
reason
that.
I know that is because they do have like a minute where the actor Fred Savage
Frank something
is sitting there going, you do realise I've done things with my life since this movie. Lying basically duct tape to the bed. And it's going, this isn't who I am, this is a character. And Deadpool's like, yeah. And then they just go on this 1 minute conversation where Deadpool's like, yeah, I've seen it, like Modern Family, you did really well, and just complimenting the kid's work. And it's like, oh, huh? Why am I like this then? It's because it's a plot device. Come on.
He was the fourth Austin Powers movie. He was like Dr. Evil's assistant or something. Oh, he was the mole.
Molly.
And I was like, at the time it was great. Oh, wow. Like, whatever happened to Fred Savage? It's like, he's been doing stuff. He's been doing it in front of the camera.
Yeah.
A bit of a like Jonathan Frakes, you know? It's just really busy behind the camera, but yeah.
So where was it filmed, Jeanette?
It was all filmed in Britain and Ireland.
Yeah.
So even though it's actually a Hollywood movie, but it's all filmed in Britain and Ireland. The Cliffs of Insanity are the Cliffs of Moher in Ireland.
Oh, yes.
Ah.
And they use sort of...
They always look like plasticine to me. They look like a plasticine set. They just look so artificial.
They are real cliffs. A lot of it's filmed up around in Derbyshire.
They're really plasticine.
Around Bakewell and places like that. Remember the name of the castle they use. Mm. Well, it's not really a castle, but it's used in a lot of film locations.
This movie came out when I was about 6 or 7, but when it came out at the movies, I thought it was a straight movie. I thought it was what it was, and I was not interested at all. And I think my parents taped it onto Betamax, and it was just, I think we put it on once and it just blew our minds, like how great it was. And then as I've gotten older, more I've watched it, the more I've picked up and understood, and the more I've appreciated some of those lines that I never got, now I get. So I think I said the last recording, I am not one for action movies or action scenes at all. I literally tune out. But that sword fighting scene, chef's kiss.
It is
the most incredible thing.
Probably that practice of practice for months.
Yes, they practice the whole time.
Well, I mentioned to a friend last night that we were going to be doing this recording, and he got very excited, and he said that was actually supposed to be a 15-minute action scene, but they got so good at it, they were like basically, instead of it being a long, drawn-out thing, they were just smashing it around, and they were so good at it that they managed to record everything that they would have done in 15 minutes in like 5 minutes because it was so swift and so refined with their technicalities, and they went, okay, I guess the movie's a little shorter now. You know?
And they both learned to fight with both hands as well.
Oh, yeah. As left-handed kids, my sister and I, that scene where it's like, I am not left-handed, and it's like, I'm also not left-handed. I love it. I love it. Yes. And they switch hands. Yeah, to me, that is probably the only action scene in my life that I love.
Feel free to drink a shot, but this is something that I can bring Star Wars into.
Here we go.
I like watching and looking into the way the techniques work within the Star Wars universe. There's 7 different techniques that Jedis tend to learn.
Oh, the fighting styles.
Oh, the fighting styles. Yeah. And these two people that really just enjoy recreating fighting scenes and stuff from other movies, and mainly just from Star Wars episodes and TV shows and the movies and stuff, they recreated this sword fight with lightsabers and they changed it to like a dark side and a light side character and recreated the entire fight. And it was really, really good. Like, it was actually just a lot of fun to watch.
And that's one of the things. Yeah. The movie just takes all of those classic tropes, plays them for the people who love them, and then twists them as well. And that's the thing. That fight is technically supposed to be a good guy versus bad guy scene, but you're watching it and you're not... You've got the guy in black, but he's not necessarily the bad guy. You've got the guy in the lighter colours... He's kind of a bad guy, but is he though? You know, you understand his backstory. You understand their backstory, and then they're straight out saying, "I'm sorry, I don't want to kill you. You seem like a great guy, but let's do this." You know,
and you realize neither of them is bad. They're both
so incredible. I've got goosebumps just talking. I've got goosebumps talking about this movie. I'm so excited.
Missing from the list at the moment is Billy Crystal and Carol Kane. And that little cameo scene.
You know what? That's probably never really loved that scene. You know, Carl Reiner used to, apparently that was like his favourite part of the movie and he loved it, but I was like, eh.
See, I was hoping we were going to bring up the other guy that continuously says inconceivable, so I could bring in the fact that I watched a...
Wallace Shawn, I love Wallace Shawn.
A movie very recently that Wallace Shawn turns up in. This person's trying to go out on dates and restart their dating life. And, it's called The Book Club.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's like these three older women, they start reading 50 Shades of Grey. Mm-hmm. And this one woman's a judge and she goes on dates and stuff. And in one of the scenes, she ends up at the bar, she sees her ex, and she's like, oh, God, and he's dating a much younger woman. Mm-hmm. Like, he's probably in his 50s, and the girl that he's dating is in her, like, 20s? Maybe early 30s? Wallace Shaw just ends up, and he's like, sorry, I'm late. I was just doing a very serious operation. And, like, it was inconceivable.
Yes. He's so good. I always wanted to watch everything he popped up in after watching Princess Bride. So, yeah, he's so good.
Yeah, he became a regular in lots of late-night television shows where he was just sort of a personality that showed up.
I mean, how he is out on the movie is kind of how he is in real life. He just comes there and acts like Wallace Shawn and just steals the show. It's just so good. Even just, Christopher Guest, who before and after that did all of his... Oh, my God, I'm having a complete mental blank. Absolutely love his movies. Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman. What's the... Oh, my God, it's one of my favourite movies. The one where they're the rock band.
Spinal Tap.
Oh, my God. Which Carl Reiner directed. As well.
I love that you were going to say School of Rock.
Bless your cotton socks, but you need an education.
No, just to deliberately throw the wrong answer in the mix to confuse you.
Angus isn't wrong, because the actor from School of Rock is also in Princess Bride. It's just the remake from, like... And for those wondering at home, it is Jack Black, and he does recreate some beautiful scenes.
He is actually a baron as well, Christopher Guest, and married to Jamie Lee Curtis. And that's why she's a baroness. So
who's Jamie Lee Curtis.
I need to throw something.
Do you know what it sounds like when you guys refer to other actors' names? I'm going to put this into context for you. So, I have a friend called Luke, and he is, like, an incredibly good digital artist. Like, I think he could seriously go somewhere. Do you know who Luke is? Do you have a Luke face to put that to? No. You know why?
I do not know who Luke is. What's wrong with
him? He's an amazing bro.
I need to show you a picture of Jamie Lee Curtis.
And we need to show you a picture of Luke.
I'll show you a picture. You show me. But if you saw a picture of Jamie Lee Curtis, you'd be like, oh
Jamie Lee Curtis. She's from the Halloween movies. She appeared in Trading Spaces. She was in Fish Called Wanda.
Fish Called Wanda is one of my favorites.
And Fierce Creatures, which is its pseudo sequel.
Oh, I've seen none of those. Oh, she was in Knives Out.
Yes.
We're watching that. My example did not even hit the nail on the head for you. You were just like, oh, but you'd know her anyway.
You wouldn't.
Well, did you not? If you came to my birthday last year, you'd know who Luke was. My point still stands. Like, you put a name in there, I have no idea who you're talking about.
I want to know who Luke is. I really do.
Well, you're not going
Introduce
to.
Introduce me to Luke. Oh!
Luke is forever going to remain a listener of this podcast.
He is too.
Okay, so when they weren't going to get Andre the Giant, they were considering various actors.
Back in time, bro.
Are we going to know any of them?
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Lou Ferrigno.
Original Hulk from Incredible Hulk.
Excellent.
Okay, that's useful. Yep.
There's a few other names here that I don't recognize.
Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson.
Who's
Liam Neeson?
Not for Andre the Giant's character.
I haven't seen Taken.
Oh, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yep. Thank you. I just wanted to bring Star Wars
to it. Drink.
Return of the Jedi.
Okay, so this
is... And Kenobi.
No, he wasn't in Return of the Jedi.
And then I think one actor who's kind of a little bit understated, because stop it. Just let me get it out.
I'm waiting.
I always wait for you to do the signal so I can kind of fart back now. Yeah. Chris Sarandon, who plays Prince Humperdinck.
Yes.
So he's been in lots of stuff, but he's one of those characters. I couldn't even put my finger on what I know him on.
He's in Sherlock Horror quite a bit.
Voices character in the Studio Ghibli.
Yes, in Nausicaa Valley of the Wind.
Yes.
There's the
Doesn't
evil
Liam
people.
Neeson voice someone in that? No. It's
Ponyo.
Ponyo.
Yeah, he's like the underling for the evil woman from...
And he's great in that.
He's so good.
It's the voice is so recognisable.
How can you tell his voice is so bland?
Oh,
no offense.
He's the voice of Jack Skellington from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes, he is, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
really? He is. Yes, he is. I knew there was something really big he was famous for.
Yeah. I used to have a major crush on that plasticine model. I don't even know why. I just thought he was really tall, lanky, and handsome. And now look, he's tall, lanky, and handsome.
Probably more known for his famous ex-wife Susan Sarandon, who you probably don't know either. So
I feel like I've heard Susan Sarandon, but
she
I don't
is
know who that
Janet
is.
From the Rocky Horror Picture Show movie.
I do. I wouldn't have known.
I only found that out the other day. I didn't realise she
and
was
Louise
Janet.
And Louise and Vollmer.
Now we can wrap it up. Sorry about that. I just need to get through all the actors.
I'm sorry. We need to take it back a moment. We got to talk about Lisa's experience with the movie. We got the rundown of the movie. Yeah. Alex, what's your damn experience? Everyone seems to forget you. Angus. But we got Lisa in there for most of us.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm forgettable. Don't worry about me.
No!
What you
stop!
Anyway,
when did you first watch Princess Hair?
I think it was just one of those movies that I just end up in, like, when I was at uni, everybody's computers were tied to everybody else's computers, and somebody had to have it on the computer, and I just watched it one day, and I think it's the only time I've actually seen it in full, which is probably not the best. So I haven't seen it in years, I need to be reintroduced to it. Yeah.
Is that the only way you've seen it? Is on someone's computer?
Not on my own computer, but yeah.
That's awesome. This is going to be an exciting time for you.
Heck yeah.
What about you, Baylor? When were you introduced?
Oh my goodness. I was first introduced 4 years ago.
By Angus.
I want to say
By Angus.
Three.
No, yeah. 3 to 4 years ago.
Yeah. Wow.
Angus going... found out that I hadn't watched it, dubbed me into Justin and Jeanette pointing fingers, and Justin basically went, right, we're watching this now, and put it on. And I do distinctly remember the two other brothers also coming downstairs and watching it.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it ended up becoming something of a family affair. It was a really good movie. I loved it. I was expecting to hate it.
Yeah.
Because these guys are old, and I'm like, oh, old movie.
Yeah.
But no, it was actually.
I feel really like good. With the some of the track records that you've said with different shows and stuff, I feel like this would have been one of the ones that your family made you sit down and watch. But obviously, this is one that they missed.
No, yes. I don't even know if they've watched it. Like, everybody's reaction to this movie is exactly how my dad felt about the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And
the Rocky Horror Picture Show, for me, was the equivalent of Princess Bride.
Yeah.
It was like, the moment we got a DVD player, it was like, right, you're sitting down, you're watching this movie. And I think we ended up watching it on repeat, and I was 8.
You see, I've still not seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay, we have to do Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I saw the first 20 minutes.
We will have to do Rocky Horror
Picture Show. And then that was about it.
That means a classic, yes.
Yeah.
Actually, I know that my dad has been listening to this podcast, and it is a request of his for us.
Okay.
So,
okay.
There we go. Listener's request.
Yay.
A couple of those now.
Maybe we should watch it also something else as well, a different another movie, maybe a sci-fi picture, so it end up being a science fiction double feature.
Oh, I like that. Actually, I want them to do, if we do go and watch the Rocky Horror Picture Show, is to go to the theatres.
Yeah.
Where they hold Rocky Horror Nights, so that we can interact with it.
Yes.
I think that would be the best way to watch it.
Yes, please, can we?
Yeah, I've got to say that Rocky Horror, part of the whole show is the audience participation.
Yes.
Because
yes.
For every line, there is a response.
Yes.
And
like,
just
you've got to take newspaper and spoons and all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Kenzie's a fan of the song, aren't you, kiddo?
The You see, that's the point where I've not seen past the Time Warp song.
Because
I watch it with Baylor, and we get past that song, and Baylor's like, okay, I'm feeling something else now.
I've done that with a couple of things where I'm like, I want to watch this, but I've watched it so much beforehand that I'm just kind of
still
getting
over. It's like, I enjoy this show, but I want to watch this show.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of things where I've seen, like, the beginning of, and then that's it. Because we always watch stuff together, or I watch my own show.
And then I feel really, really bad about it, because I've watched Lower Decks about 7 times now. That's not a joke.
Same. I told you I did the same thing. First season I watched it, and I went back and watched it again, and again.
Yeah. Lisa, we only started watching it about 2 months ago.
I totally get where you're coming from, because I was the same.
Yeah.
Angus,
mm-hmm.
When was the first time you watched this movie?
Oh.
Justin's gonna cry.
I just hit Baylor.
Ow. Really hurt. I'm tender.
So I first watched it when I was about 3 or 4.
Oh.
Like when I was really young. There's video footage of me, like family video of me pretending to have a sword with a plastic sword in my hand.
Yeah.
Pretend fighting in midair, inspired by this movie. Because the fencing was just so cool. The video was interrupted when one of my brothers fell out of the climbing tree into a rose bush. But up till that point, it's brilliant. And I remember a point in time where I'd watched The Princess Bride and realized Andre the Giant was like a wrestler sort of thing, and I'm like, oh, what's he done? And so I looked up some of his wrestling fights and just went, these are tragic. Because I remembered, like, at primary school, kids would go, oh, wrestling's all real and stuff like that. And you watch that and you go, nah.
But he was doing the whole, like, unitard type old school wrestling.
This, like, great big green unitard sort of thing. But watching the fights, you're like, he would just be able to get 2 hands and just go squish. And it was so cheesy. And he was portrayed as the villain. Because he was different.
Yeah.
And Hulk Hogan was portrayed as the hero.
And apparently he was just the sweetest dude.
Andre the Giant was the sweetest, and Hulk Hogan was really problematic.
Still is.
So have you forced Mackenzie to watch this movie?
I have tried a couple of times, and she is not here for it. and she's never quite got it. And I said, I really want her to come and I think sometimes I've tried to introduce her to stuff a little bit too early. And we did that recently with Back to the Future. I said, we've tried this one with you before and you'll be like, eh. I said, let's try it again. You're a little bit older. Let's see what you feel. Mm. And she fell in love with it. And I said that about today. But even until this morning, she was kind of a bit like, oh, maybe I'll sit this one out and just not come, you know. Like, she's just not feeling it.
Do you think...
Trust me.
That getting Mackenzie to watch it with me, her all-time favourite person,
probably.
Is what will get her to watch
probably,
it?
Yeah. I thought us sitting around talking about how much we love it and why we love it might actually make her give it a fair shake.
I think just Baylor saying how much they love it is going to...
Do you think you're going to give it a fair chance today?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Okay, so I guess we'll get on and watch Princess Bride.
Yay.
Sorry, Jeanette. That's 30 minutes.
God damn, Justin, why didn't you tell us to stop earlier?
I didn't. I just couldn't bring myself.
Oh my goodness. Oh no, I'm so sorry. I'm glad we all got to talk.